All right, well, thank you, Dylan and Harlan and Latisse, for sharing that with us. I want to share three quick stories with you. We're going to share communion. Whoops. We're going to share communion together. We're a little, And then that's what we're going to do for today. We're glad that you're here with us today, that you've joined us. We're thankful for an opportunity to celebrate Easter with you. I was thinking through what do we really talk about today, and as Jimmy mentioned, today is the day that makes our whole system of belief make any sense. Kids are in here. They can head out. I think they've already left. Thanks. So there you go. Okay. And if this doesn't happen, if Easter's not real, then nothing else we do really matters here. We all have to have some level of foundation for our faith. We have to have some level of foundation for our hope. And I was chatting with my sister. We both kind of had a weird few years where we've struggled somewhat with different things that we're trying to manage and deal with, and had a chance to hang out with her some this weekend, and she was sitting across the room from me, and she said, "So how are you doing? Do you have those friends or relationships or family members in which you can, within one sentence, play out the entire conversation that's about to happen in your head?" And that's what it was. I knew what the conversation was going to be, and she started the conversation, but I knew exactly how it was going to play out. It was something we had experienced, just several conversations over the years. We just said, you know what? There is a time that life doesn't always work out exactly the way you think it's going to work out. And there are struggles and hardships that just show up in life that you're not expecting, but they're there anyways. And there has to be something within you that simply says, there is something worth just putting the next foot in front of the other. Amen. And as we think about it, I'm just thinking about some different stories that came to mind, but one was happened this week, early Tuesday morning. I'm sure you followed the stories where a cargo ship dolly was leaving Baltimore, the port of Baltimore, and communicated with the Port Authority that they were losing power and losing steering, that there was potentially a devastating accident about to happen. And they began to spring into action, just send out people that could help close off the bridge, which we now know also was a time where eight construction workers were working on the bridge, trying to repair it and get it ready at what they would hope would be a time of day where there wouldn't be much traffic and they could get it done before Wednesday morning or Tuesday morning rush hour would begin. The cargo ship dolly would lose power, would lose the ability to steer, would try to regain it, but ultimately would hit one of the pier supports or bridge supports, and the bridge would come crashing down. Of those eight construction workers, six of them have not been found. Two were rescued from the water, and at least four other vehicles that went into the water when the bridge dropped have also not been found. I love Easter. And Harlan, I love to get the egg with the money in it. You know what I'm saying? That's the golden egg. And today we are going to have fun, and we are going to celebrate, and we are going to eat some great stuff, and we're probably going to down way too much chocolate. But the purpose of Easter is not just for us who are going to do all those things. The purpose of Easter is also for the families of those construction workers this morning who are wondering, where is hope? There are things that happen in our lives where is there a foundation for me to believe that things are going to get better, or am I just hoping in thin air that something will break free and something will be okay? The kind of hope that they're struggling with is not the kind of hope that can be built on worship services and belief statements. It can't be built simply on the fact that you're supposed to go to church, and you know what, for your Christians when they died, maybe they've got a better life after they die. That's not the kind of hope that Jesus promised us. The second story I wanted to share with you is a story that happened back in 1981. A man by the name of Eugene Land, you may or may not have heard of him. Eugene went to school in elementary school 121 in East Harlem and would go on to go to college and then become an incredibly successful businessman. He would make millions of dollars over the course of his life, and he was asked to come back to speak to this inner city school where hope was in short supply. And he was to give the sixth grade commencement address as these students were graduating middle school and were about to go on and enter into high school. Most of them, as statistics would tell them, would not graduate high school, much less go on to college or go on to lives where they would have any kind of life similar to Eugene Land's. And so he went up and he was about to begin speaking, and he had planned to tell them, if you really work hard and you really study hard and you graduate and then you work really hard, you can make it. And that was his commencement address in a nutshell. And as he walked up to give that, he felt this is a hollow message, because most of these kids are not going to graduate high school and go on. And so instead he stood up in front of them and he said, I used to go to school here, and if you will work hard in high school, I guarantee I will fund every one of your college educations. And so that commencement address began a very real shift in the lives of those students. The principal said, well, you'll be lucky if one or two people end up taking you up on your offer. And the way the offer would work was, he said, I'm going to earmark $2,000 and I'm going to set it aside. And each year that you succeed in college, I will re-up that scholarship. In the end, approximately half of that sixth grade class would graduate college. I think we have a picture of Eugene with some of the students of that original group. Maybe. There they are. What's interesting is many of those students would go on to fund similar scholarships for those that would come after them. Now see, this is a hope that would completely change the course of their lives, because they had something that they could stand on, a trust that this was going to happen, a foundation that was not just, well, I hope it happens, but instead, if you do the work, your tuition will be funded. No promises after that. Over the years, a number of people would eventually follow suit, and millions of dollars would be given to send kids, especially in at-risk situations, to go to college, to have the opportunity to better themselves. And what I want to share with you today is that as we come together and celebrate Easter, it is our Super Bowl, but it is our Super Bowl because it is the thing that is the foundation for our faith that says this hope that we have is real. I've shared with our church several times one of my frustrations, although I don't disagree with what is being said, but one of my frustrations is when you hear someone who's going through a hard time in life say, God was faithful. My cancer was healed. Or they say, my God was faithful, and a job was spared. They say, I'm so glad God has proven Himself faithful when a relationship that I thought was going to end miraculously doesn't end. And can I just say, there's nothing wrong with those statements, because absolutely in those statements God is faithful. But our faith has to be bigger than that. Our faith has to be such that God is faithful when the cancer is not healed, and when the job goes away, and when the relationship ends. Is God faithful in those moments? See, I think a lot of times the faith that we talk about when we do our services is a very hollow, shallow, backless, foundationless faith. And I think when we come together and our whole hope is built on the idea that if you hang in there, you'll die and you'll get to go to heaven and then things will get good, well, while I hope in those things, And I had never hoped in those things more than when I would bury my father, and I'm sure as Scott has seen, to his father who passed away a little over a week ago. Many of you have had loved ones that you have lost. There has been no other time that I have hoped more in what would be at the time in which we die. However, Jesus didn't talk about this, and Easter was not simply about when we die. That is a shallow, foundationless hope that you know that you're going to make it there, because so far humanity is 100%, everyone dies. You don't have to do a whole lot of effort to get there. But when we talk about Jesus, do we hang our hope on something that we ourselves cannot prove and we cannot stand on? Because I don't think that's the kind of hope that Jesus intended for us to have. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter is talking about the kind of hope that this is supposed to be, the kind of hope that gives us life, the kind of foundation that is like those students who said, you know what, I've got my tuition covered, I can trust that. I saw him, he told me he was going to do it, I know he has the resources to do it, I can trust that this is real. This is what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." See, Easter is about a living hope, not an empty hope. It is about a hope with a foundation that says, even when the cancer comes, there is hope. And even when the cancer is not healed, there is hope. It's the kind of hope that says, when everything's falling apart, God is faithful. And when everything seems to come back together, God is still faithful. But when it doesn't, God is also faithful. These 12 men watched Jesus and walked with Jesus, and we could easily sit here in 2024 and we can think, well, can we trust it? You know, can we trust it? That happened a long time ago. We didn't see it. Do we really know that Jesus rose from the dead? And outside of historians who tell us, yes, he did, we have the testimony of his disciples who would give their lives one by one because they experienced something real, something profound. See, this is a living hope. The hope is built on the resurrection. Christmas doesn't matter if Easter doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying? There have been so many people who claim to be the Messiah, but only one who came back from the dead. And as I think about where do I put my foundation and my hope, and where do I put the purpose of my life, and where do I go from here, it all has to fall on something that has a palpable reason that I can trust, and that for me is the resurrection, which is why Easter matters. A cheap hope is one that believes that God is faithful only when things are good. A cheap hope is one that trusts that only when we die will things get better. A cheap hope is one that says, I don't know, but I guess I better try just in case. But a living hope has teeth. A living hope has a foundation. A living hope says, you can pattern your life after this and trust that this is good. We can look at our friends who are going through hard times and we can say, God is faithful, even when they don't see the end of that dark alley that they feel they're walking through. God is faithful. Even when all of our greatest fears begin to come true, God is faithful. Even when our lives don't work out exactly the way we expected. believe as we come and take communion this morning, some of the things we can take away from the resurrection is, one, it is the thing that makes our faith matter. It is the reason we come and we gather. It is the reason that we have a service 52 or sometimes 51 weeks of the year, depending on how we're feeling at the end of the year, you know. It's why we meet in a place like this or in the park or wherever else we're going to end up. It's why we get together and we eat a meal together and we talk about what God is doing in our lives, because this is real. And this matters. A lot has been said about Christianity by a lot of people, and a lot of the things said about my faith I don't believe in. A lot of the ways people treat people, the way that we talk about Christians, I don't agree with. I don't see that's how Jesus treated people. But it all comes back to this incredible reality that the world is broken and I am broken and you are broken, if we're honest. And there is an answer that has a living hope. One that is alive, not one that we just make up, not one that we just, well, you know, just in case, but instead a living hope that says this is the real thing. And it changes who we are. Super thankful for all of our guests that are here, and super thankful for all of our regulars that are here. We've been through a bit of a journey, no pun intended, but not really trying to avoid it. We've been through a bit of a journey ourselves. And I find God faithful. I find Him faithful through the relationships that are being built. I find it faithful in the phone calls when things are going wrong. I find it in the how are you doing that I know is not just looking for a I'm good, but instead really want to know. God is faithful. As we take communion together, Jesus wanted us to take, and I appreciate Harlan bringing up Exodus, because up until this time, the most significant time in their life as a formation of a nation was what happened in Egypt and their deliverance from there. And Jesus would take that, this huge national identity around this incredible event, to say what's about to happen is more significant than even that, than all of the plagues and all of the strikes and all of the ways God defended them and came to their aid, all the ways God prepared a way for them in the desert. He said, what is about to happen is even more significant than that. And I don't want you to forget it. I don't want you to forget that your faith is built on this. I don't want you to forget that God is, He loves you so incredibly much that He would send His Son to die for you. And yet God was so who He said He was that when Jesus breathed His last, 3 days later, He would breathe again. See, I believe that there are some of us, maybe even here today, that maybe feel a little dead inside. The resurrection isn't just for us to say Jesus rose from the dead, but it was for that living hope to make that thing dying in us live again. Perhaps this Easter, we're gorging on some good old chocolate. Pretty expensive this year, by the way. We might not be gorging as much as we once did. But remember that God is still bringing dead things to life. In us, in each other, in our families, in our communities, in the world. And He has not finished doing that. Here's what I'd like to do before we take communion together. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, Easter is for you. Just look at a neighbor. Easter is for you. That's right. Turn to another neighbor. We got time. Where are you going? Chocolate's too expensive to go eat chocolate. Come on. We got time for this. Easter is for you. Thank you. All right. I want to ramp it up a bit. I want to make it a little more challenging, a little more difficult. All right? I want you to say, Easter is for me. All right, not you, not me, right? Okay, let's do it again. Easter is for me. Okay, we are way off on our timing. Let's try this. Let's try this one more time. Ready? There we go.
Go. Easter is for me.
All right, we got it. We got it. Sometime this day, I don't know what you're going to be doing. It may be right before your Easter nap or right, you know, while you're out hiding Easter eggs, if you're doing that. I think some of the kids are doing some Easter eggs this morning. It may be doing that or while you're waiting for them to get all the Easter eggs, and then you're going to try to swipe a few of them for yourself. I want you to remind yourself, this living hope, it is for you. And it is for us. In those moments where things might, for some of us, feel dead, God is still bringing those things back to life. Easter is for you. I'm going to pray with you. We're going to take communion. If you haven't taken communion with us before, it's very simple. We're just going to line up, and Scott and Ken are going to come up and lead it. We are going to break off a piece of bread. If all the bread is gluten-free, if you need gluten-free, it's all gluten-free. They're going to dip it in the juice and they're going to hand it to you. And the reason we do this is to remember that Jesus gave his body to be broken for us. Jesus shed his blood to be spilled for us. Because in the moments in which we were dead in our sins and our transgressions, he said, I will make you alive with me. Let God make dead things that are in us be alive again. Would you pray with me? Father, the grace that you've given us to give your son so that we could be free, it is not empty, it is not shallow, it is not without foundation. Father, I thank you that we can trust that you came back from the dead. You are who you say you are. You have done what you said you were going to do, and one day you will return just as you have promised that will be the case. Father, I pray for those in this room and life is just, good, just good. I thank you, Father, for the goodness in our lives today. And Father, I thank you for your faithfulness when our lives do not feel good. Because you are faithful in all things. You are faithful to us. And I thank you that Easter is for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.